What a great song that we ended our song service with, Battle Hymn of the Republic, because tonight we're going to be looking at the battle that's taking place between the physical world and the spiritual world. If you would turn with me tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 10 and read down through verse 20. 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 this evening, and we begin in verse 10. The Word of God reveals to us here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, once again, we give you praise for the opportunity to open the Word of God together this evening. We thank you for the songs that have been sung, the worship time. And now as we come to the Word of God, we ask that our hearts might be brought before the throne of grace. And Lord, that we might be ready by your Spirit. I pray, Father, that the words that I speak would be your words. The thoughts that would enter my mind would come directly from you. And Lord, that this is your message for your people. So, Father, I just pray that you would impress upon us the importance of listening, of applying, and of thanking you. And Father, we just give you all the praise and the glory in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The church at Ephesus has been called the greatest of the New Testament churches, and the epistle that we have read these 10 verses out of this evening has been called the greatest epistle to the church. The book of Ephesians is one of those books that is so deep and so practical that we could spend literally years trying to go through the verses, trying to apply the verses. And if you want to be humble, stop and think for a moment that the people at Ephesus actually understood this great letter. Many theologians debate and argue over the points that are made here, but the people of Ephesus actually understood what Paul was writing. And as we come now to this last part of the book, we're going to impart upon something, because here he's going to reveal to the church what they need to do to protect themselves from Satan. And so tonight we're going to spend a few minutes looking at this, and we find in the 10th verse, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Paul was a very gifted man. We know that he was called of the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, and so he makes a very powerful statement here. He said, "I want you to understand something as I close my letter. I want you to draw strength, and I want you to draw power. I want you to realize that you're going forth not in your power, not in your strength, but you're going forth in the strength of God Almighty and Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that no matter what comes against you, you are standing beside the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and God Almighty is your master. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." There are some things that you and I cannot do alone. And once we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that there are many things that we shouldn't have done alone, that we did. And we find that there are many things that we need to do, and we don't have the power or the strength to do it. But in Christ we do. And so he finishes his letter by revealing some things to us. about the armor of God. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. None of us would even think about going onto the battlefield only half prepared, or not having all of the armor that we have been allowed to have with us because we know our life is at stake. And yet many Christians haphazardly go out into the world unprepared and without all of the armor of God to protect us against the onslaught of Satan. Here, Paul writes that we are to put on the whole armor of God. We must not take bits and pieces. We must not allow our own self-assurance, our own pride, to get in the way of what God desires in our lives, and we must be willing to put aside everything about us and remember who has called us and what we have been called to do. We have been called to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to see that word many times in these verses. To stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We see here, it's been revealed to us by the Apostle Paul, as he has been gifted by the Spirit of God to reveal to us, that in the angelic realm there are degrees of authority. Just as God has the seraphim and the cherubim and the archangels, and there may be many that we don't even know of that are not revealed to us in Scripture, Satan has different authorities and powers at his disposal among the fallen angels. There are principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. We find that principalities and powers speak of rank, of authority. But then the rulers of the darkness of this world are political. These are political powers that are controlled by the demon world. And there is a great deal that goes on around us that we know nothing about. Our eyes are not able, God has created us in such a way that we are not able to see the spiritual world. Nor are we to contact it or to make any type of appeal to it at all. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, when it was called, was told that they were not to have anything to do with contacting the dead or contacting the spirit world. And if anyone was involved in witchcraft, they were to be taken out and executed. Obviously, those laws are not in effect today. Our world has become rampant with witchcraft, the occult, and all of the things that God warned Israel against. It's all around us today, and there are many strange things that happen that we have no answer for. We do not see the spirit world, we cannot hear the spirit world, but we are under the influence of the spirit world. We're also under the influence of the Holy Spirit as God's people. As we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit reveals to us what He wants us to know. The Holy Spirit calls us to be a part of the family of God. He calls us to the throne of grace and to the cross of the Son of God. He seals us and empowers us in the work that God has called us to do. At the same time, we are under attack by a spirit world which despises us because of who we have decided to follow. And so, we need to understand that we are at war tonight. We looked Wednesday evening, we have been going through the book of 1 John, and we looked at some of the things that John was concerned about in the spirit world. Tonight we're going to look at this. Just recently, a man by the name of Elwood Bartlett, an accountant in Maryland, won $49 million in the lottery. And Mr. Bartlett made the news not because he won the lottery, but because of what he said afterward. He said that he had made an agreement with his gods that if he won this lottery, he would use it to teach the world about his gods. You see, Mr. Bartlett is a high priest in the Wiccan religion. And what he has attempted to do, and what he's in the process of doing tonight as we speak, he's bought a piece of property in Maryland, and he's going to build an educational facility there, fashioned after the Harry Potter series, Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. And he's going to take $49 million and build an educational facility so that young people can go there to learn about the gods of Wicca. The young people will be your children, my children, and our grandchildren. The world is being indoctrinated in the ways of witchcraft. And the Lord told us that in the last days it would be so. This should not be a surprise to the church. But for some reason it appears to be. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whether it seems as that no matter where you go, the more beautiful the scenery in the area, the more that witchcraft and the occult and Satan lays claim to it. Whether it's the beauty of the White Mountains in New Hampshire, where it's very difficult to find any church today that teaches and preaches the Word of God. To the woods of Maine, which is notorious for covens of witches. I don't know if you knew that or not. To this beautiful area here in Nova Scotia, which has its share of Wiccan religion. But when we were in Maine, we had a young lady who visited our church. Well, actually, she visited a Bible study that I did in a small town to the south of us called Kingman. And she accepted Christ as her Savior. And she and her husband, well, she began to pray for her husband, and I went to visit with him, and he accepted Christ as his Savior, and we were very excited about that. One night, I got a call from this dear lady, and she said that there's something in my house, and she said, I don't know what it is, but she said, I'm afraid my mother brought it in. I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, the television comes on and off by itself, drawers open, the cupboard doors open by themselves. There is very strange things happening in this house. I said, why do you think your mother brought it in? She said, because my mother's a witch. And because she was very upset when she found out that Tom and I accepted Christ, and she allowed that our son would never be claimed by our God. She said, I don't know what to do. She asked me if I would be willing to come to her house and go through the house and pray. And I said, yes, I will. So Kathy and I went, and we went through the home, and we prayed in every room, and we asked God to silence whatever it was that was in that house, to force it to leave. And to my recollection, it was never heard from again. There are strange things out there in the world tonight that we do not understand. We were having a Bible study one night. I used to have my Bible study with the men. In that church, the women had their Bible study on a different night than the men. And we were having a Bible study when the phone rang. And it was a frantic grandmother who attended our church, and she was from another town. Her granddaughter had been acting very strange lately, and so strange, in fact, that they began to worry that she was involved in drugs. And her behavior had changed, her attitude about life had changed, everything had changed. She said, now we know why. She said, after she went to school this morning, she said, we went through her bedroom. Now I know some of you are probably saying, oh, we should never do that. Our children need their privacy. Well, they hunted the place high and low. They found no drugs whatsoever. What they did find, however, was a Ouija board that she had hidden in her mattress that she had borrowed from a friend of hers. The mom became very disturbed because she could hear voices in the bedroom when her daughter was in bed. But they were not her daughter's voices. There were many strange things happening. They tried to get into the bedroom one night. Her daughter began to scream. They couldn't open the door. They literally pulled the doorknob out of the door and could not open the door. And so that's why they decided that they would go through the house, why they would go through the room. And when they found this thing, it petrified them. And they called me. They said, what should I do? I said, burn it. You have a wood stove? Burn it. Are you sure? I said, yes, burn it. It's of Satan. Burn that thing. And they did. And do you know, this little girl, 12 years old, was never bothered again. The spirit world is not something that God wants us to get involved in. And it is imperative as parents that we deny, that we tell our children, that we plead with them, don't get involved in these things. The New Age movement is making it very acceptable today. It's become very comfortable. Even in the church, we have contemplative prayer, which is nothing more than the meditation of Eastern mysticism. And we're opening ourselves up to being influenced by demonic powers. It is a battle. Don't fool yourself. It is a battle. And you, your family, and your children, and your grandchildren are the targets. Satan cannot have you if you're a Christian. But he can certainly destroy you, your family, and your little ones if you're not careful. There is a great battle going on. And that's why Paul tells these people, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Notice that he doesn't say attack. You see, the battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. It's not my battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. You and I are commanded to stand and be faithful when the attacks come against us. Now he's going to show us how to. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The first thing that he tells us that we need to do is have our loins girt about with truth. Now, he's writing about things in a spiritual sense that the Ephesians can understand from a physical sense. They were surrounded every day by Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldiers had their armor that they wore. And all of their armor was brought down to their loins, where leather and cinches brought it all together. Every part of their armor was bound to their loins. So much so that enemies of Rome would, when they attacked the Roman soldiers, would immediately try to cut that leather, that girdle that held all of their armor together, because immediately they were exposed. And what he wants us to understand here is that the truth is what connects all of your armor together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The truth. We do not operate under a lie tonight. We operate under the truth. We do not operate under deception tonight. We operate under the Word of God. The truth. And everything about our lives needs to be centered on the Word of God. As Christians, it is imperative that we understand that this is the power of God. This is our life. And so the truth is what holds all of the armor together. If you don't have the truth, you don't have Christ. If you don't have Christ, you have no armor. You are completely and totally defenseless. So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was what protected the heart and the vital organs. And here we see what Paul is telling us is that we need to have the breastplate of righteousness on, because the righteousness of Christ is what protects our vital organs or our lives. We have eternal life because we have the righteousness of Christ that has been imparted to us. We don't have it because we deserve it. We don't have it because we've done something wonderful that God has noticed and said, there's a fine example of humanity. We have it because we are sinners and we have called upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And the precious righteousness of God in Christ has been imparted to us. And it is a treasure that we must never take for granted. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Readiness. always be ready to give an account of your faith in Christ Jesus. And where your feet take you should be guided by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. You need to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldiers had special footing. Their shoes were special so that they could get good traction when they were in battle. We live in a day and age when there's specialized footwear for everything. Whether you're playing tennis or you're playing basketball or you're running or you're walking, there seems to be a specialized shoe for it all. It's funny because when I was in high school, you were lucky to get a pair of what? If you got one pair of sneakers, that had to do everything. They must have been super shoes back then, because now you have to have a $100 pair of shoes to walk and another $100 pair of shoes to run, and it's amazing. But these soldiers had specialized shoes. And what God wants you to understand is your feet are special because you walk where God tells you to. You stand where God tells you to. You operate where God tells you to. The gospel of peace. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of the Roman soldier was about 2.5 feet by 4 feet. It was made out of wood and it was covered in leather. Treated leather. But every time that they went into battle, they would take that leather and they would soak it in water. Because the opposing armies would dip their arrows in tar or in bitumen, and then they would light them on fire and they would send those arrows among the Roman soldiers. If it hit that wooden shield, it would set it on fire. The leather soaked in water prevented that from happening. And here we see an answer. Take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Once again, Paul's talking about something that those people understood. The fiery darts of the wicked. You take the shield of faith. It is not hard to tell who is a faithful servant and who is not, because the unfaithful servant will fall apart the moment that problems exist. We must learn to walk by faith. We have to have faith and trust in our God. That precious shield. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. That helmet protects the mind. It protects the mind. And so, there is the security and the assurance of the believer at stake. The one thing, Satan cannot have you, but he can cripple you. As a child of God, you belong to Christ, but he can cripple you if you doubt whether or not you're truly saved or not. If you're constantly wondering, have I done something that I've lost it now? What's going on? Can God possibly forgive me this time? Is there a chance, just a chance, that I could be lost? Because all of the time you're fighting over that, you're doing absolutely nothing for Christ. He can keep you consumed on whether or not you're saved. You're not going to worry about anybody else. You're not going to witness to them. You're not going to try to get them to surrender their lives to Christ, because you're not even sure if you're saved. Satan is very, very deceptive. The Bible says that when you come to Christ, you are sealed by the Spirit of God. And unless you have a power that I'm not aware of, nobody's going to break that seal. You belong to God and only to God, and Satan can't have you, but he will cripple you if you allow him to do so. Don't doubt the fact that the blood of Christ is strong enough not only to save you, but to keep you, to hold you, to protect you, and to preserve you until God calls you home. Take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. It is the only thing that God has given to us as a weapon. The Word of God. It is defensive, because no matter what the accusation is that comes against you as a child of God, you have the Word of God there standing with you, defending you. But it's also offensive. It's offensive because it is the one thing that can rip the foundation of sin from beneath the feet of the sinner and deliver them to Jesus Christ. The Word of God. No excuse. All the answers are found here in this book. And I don't care who you are, I don't care where you came from, I don't care what you've done or what you're attempting to do. You cannot be saved until you understand that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is the Word of God. This is the written Word of God. Jesus is the physical Word of God. Life is in Christ, and Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have our offensive and our defensive weapon. But we also have another weapon as Christians. It has nothing to do with armor. It's called prayer. Look at verse 18. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to pray for one another. Prayer is that one thing that Satan trembles before because he can't control it. Once you bow your knee before God and you enter into a conversation with Him, Satan cannot touch you because you've entered into the Holy of Holies. You have gone into that place where only you and God can go. It is a special place. Praying always. And He said, I want you to pray for me. Look at that, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Of all things, here is Paul. He's in jail. And he says, pray for me. Not that I will be released. Not that I will continue to go forward and do great things and build more churches. Pray for me that I might be bold in this hour to speak what the Spirit of God lays upon my heart. That I might be a faithful servant to the end. Oh, that you and I tonight would recognize what we have in Christ Jesus and the tremendous power that we have in Him. We need each other's prayers. That's why we're called the family of God. Love the brethren. If you love the brethren, you pray for the brethren. And you need the prayers of the brethren. We all do. I do. It's the one thing that Satan despises above all else, prayer. We need to pray for one another. Paul said, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I've been locked up. Why? Because I dare to speak of Christ. And he said, I want you to pray for me that I'll be bold in this hour, that I will continue to speak for Christ. Above all else, in closing tonight, I'm just going to say this. The church is anemic tonight. And I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church in general. The church in general tonight is anemic. It has no power. It has very little authority. Because we have become a church of, well, I guess there was a term for it. These sports guys that just sit around all day and watch television, they call them couch potatoes. Well, I guess maybe the church tonight has become a bunch of church potatoes. Spiritual spuds, if you want to call it that. We have a whole lot of people sitting on the sideline cheering on a handful that are trying to do all the work. And that's the case in every church. 10% of the people wind up doing 90% of the work for some reason. But we have lots of cheerleaders. Every church is full of cheerleaders. I'm tired, so you do it. I'm more tired than you are. My job, I work long hours, so I work harder than you do. You do it. My family's more important than your family, so you do it. And that's the way it goes. There's always just a handful of people willing to do the work of God, but the church is full of cheerleaders. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're a cheerleader, to step up to the plate and start playing the game. Do something. Our time is limited. If we're not going to do anything, we may as well fold up shop, put a sign out front, closed, because we're not accomplishing one thing for Christ. Nothing. Let's do something. Let's be faithful to the Word of God, faithful to the call of God, faithful to the Word, faithful. Let's do something. Let Satan tremble when Western Christian Fellowship is mentioned. Because there is a group who stand on the Word of God that will do something for God and are not afraid to stand and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take the armor of God and let's use it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come before You tonight. Father, I pray for our church and our people. I pray that we would understand the seriousness of what we are involved in. I pray that we would recognize that we are in war. I pray that we would recognize that it's our children and our grandchildren's lives and souls that are at stake. I pray that we would be found faithful. That we would stand upon the Word of God. That we would listen to the Spirit of God. And that we would call upon the power and the strength of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We give You praise tonight, Father. We ask that You would go forth with us, working in our hearts and in the lives of our families. Help us, Lord, to love the brethren, to pray for one another, and to take all the armor of God as we go forth. And we give You all of the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.